We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas, David ben Menachem Urish, and Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Leo. We are in the final Mishnah, Maseches Peitza, Perakei, Mishnah Zayin. Misha Zimin Etzlo Orchim, person invited guests from another city, and they would come to him through the making of an Erev Tchumen. They would not be able to reach his destination, to reach the host, without making an Erev Tchumen. So they come and visit. So now the Mishnah says, Lo yolichu biyadam manos. They're not allowed to take portions of food, some of the leftovers from the Seuda back to their house. This is not an issue of carrying. Carrying is okay on Yom Tov. The problem is that they're taking it outside of the Tchum. When they go back on Yom Tov now, they made an Erev Tchumen, so they were able to go an extra, whatever it is, 1,000 Amos, 2,000 Amos, whatever, wherever they put the Erev, to come to their host's house. But the food that they're taking, and they can go home too, but they're not allowed to take food from the host house because those manos, that food, those leftovers, follow the ragle hamazmin. They follow the legs, the tchum of the owner of the house, the owner of the food. And he didn't make an eruv to go to the city of his guests. And therefore, the food should stay where it is, or certainly should not go any further than the owner of the food. Elohim Cain, says the Mishnah, unless Zika Lahem Monosehem Me'erev Yom Tov, unless the owner of the food, the owner of the house, the host, was Mizake, was Zoche, allowed them to acquire those portions of food on Erev Yom Tov. And what did he do? So he gave them that. Generally, we spoke about this when it comes to being zach in la'adam shalom b'fanav, when it comes to Erev Tavshilin and other cases as well. So what the person would do is ideally is supposed to take someone else, not the owner of the food, but someone else should be a representative of those beneficiaries who are going to want to take the portions on Yom Tov. So before Yom Tov, the owner of the food picks up, you have the chicken, you have the meat, whatever it is, the kugel that may be left over, and calls over a neighbor, let's say, listen, pick this up, I'm having guests tomorrow, not you, but other people from another town, and they're coming here through an Erev Tchumen, but I want you to be their representative, and I want you to acquire this on their behalf now, so that that food, they're able to take the leftover portions back to their home on Yom Tov tomorrow. And that's what he says, Mishoch v'zakei. Then the Gemara said, "Mishoch v'zakei b'manos halalu leploni ploni." Pick it up, take hold, and acquire these manos for these people. Zach and Adam Shalom b'fanav aviv. As we said many times, person can do something advantageous for someone else, even if they're not, they have no knowledge about it at all. Shalom b'fanav, they're not there and they're not aware of it, because it's a zechus for them to be able to take this back home, and that Zach and Adam Shalom b'fanav would be effective here. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein mashkin v'shochaten es hamidbarios." It means that we're not, he says, you're not permitted to give, to drink, or to slaughter animals that have been buried. So they would be buried. They go out in the wilderness, they're range animals. But you are permitted to give drink and shech bayasos, animals that are domesticated. And the Mishnah is going to define them. And we'll have to see what the issue is about giving them to drink and what the issue is about slaughtering them. Eluhein bayasas, what are considered domesticated animals, halanos ba'ir. Here, it's not the identity of the animal. It's that, where are they? Do they normally sleep in the city? The answer is yes. So if they usually come within the tchum, and that's where they sleep, so those animals, you're allowed to shech. You're also allowed to give them to drink. We'll see why. But shechting means they're not muktzah. If they're lanos ba'ir, we assume a person has in mind that I may use this. I may use this sheep. I may use this goat. I may use this cow. And it's not a shech them on Yom Tov. Midbarios, the ones that you're not permitted shecht, nor you're allowed to give them to drink on Yom Tov. Halanos ba'afar, they're the ones who spend the night and sleep in the afar, in the swamp or in the pasture, out further away from the tchum. So those are muktzah. And since they are muktzah, so we don't assume you have that in mind. And even though they're animals, you would not be able to shecht them. We treat them as muktzah. There is a question question whether or not the Rishonim debate whether this muktzah, that these animals are muktzah, is even according to Rabbi Shimon. Once again, Rabbi Shimon, who has the more lenient approach to muktzah, in general, if you have items that are kalim or food, they should not be considered a muktzah. We mentioned grogros vitzimukim, the dried fruit in the middle of the stage. They're not completely dry, but they're not completely raw, sitting on the roof. Even Rabbi Shimon will hold those are muktzah. But what about animals? It's a sheep. It's an animal you potentially could shecht. It's a cow. But it doesn't sleep within the tchum of the city. You tell me that's muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon? So some poskim say yes, and then some poskim say no. This is all according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon would hold, even if they sleep in the afar, out in the pasture, they would not be muktzah, and you could check them. But either way, the psak halacha on Yom Tov, according to the Ramah, is that we're strict when it comes to Yom Tov, and we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, regarding certain things, regarding muktzah in this particular case, and therefore either way it wouldn't make a difference, these would be considered muktzah. Now, what's the issue with giving them to drink? So the Gemara says that this is not really, nothing to do with yontif. It's once the Mishnah is speaking about slaughtering the animals, whether they're muktzah and you can't slaughter them, or they're muchan and you can, it's coming to teach us that the custom was to give the animals to drink right before Shechita, because it would be easier to flay the hide of the animal by giving them something to drink. And that's why, according to others, maybe it's because the Shechita helps, again, if there any blebs that you may have on the lung, that need to be removed. So those are really easier. Those are questions of glatt kosher, certain questions. The Rama makes that point. If feeding the animals, that helps get rid of those so they don't exist, and that would make less of a problem of an animal having issues of kashrus. So maybe that's what the giving drink has to do with this Mishnah, but it's unrelated to Yom Tov. We begin Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the long introduction, but we're not going to do that just because of time. The first Mishnah is very lengthy, and we'll give small introductions as the topics come up in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this: Arba'a Rashei Shanim Heim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. It means there are four dates on the calendar that each one is considered a Rosh Hashanah for a particular halachic topic, halachic issue. So Be'echad B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, La'malachim V'la'regalim. The first day of Nisan is considered the Rosh Hashanah for kings, and for the regalim, for the shalosh regalim, for the holiday. So what does this mean? The Gemara asks, obviously makes a lot of sense. Gemara asks, l'may nafkamina, what's the practical application of telling me that this date of the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah? So when it comes to malachim, when we speak about, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah, it means when we count the years of the Malchei Yisrael. So if a king was coronated on a particular month, when Nisan comes, it doesn't matter what month it is. Once Nisan comes, we begin to count the second year. So that would mean that even if a king is coronated in Adar, it would be considered his second year once Nisan comes, even though it's been only a month. The Gemara derives this from Malachim Aleph Perek Vav, when Shlomo was the king. It was 480 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bashana HaRaviyis, in the fourth year, Bechodesh Ziv, Hu Achodesh HaShini, which is Iyar, Limlok Shlomo Al Yisrael. So what the Gemara says is that we make a hekesh comparison between Malchus Shlomo and Yitzias Mitzrayim. In what way? Well, it spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim in this pasuk, and it mentions Malchus Shlomo. And what does that teach us? Ma Yitzias Mitzrayim Minisan, the Gemara says, just like Yitzias Mitzrayim was from Minisan, Af Malchus Shlomo Minisan Nimno Shinose. We begin to count the years from Nisan. So what's the Nafkamina? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Lishtaros, regarding documents. In what way? So the custom was in those days to write in a star the date of the king, how many years he has been king, from what starting from the date that he was coronated. So let's say, for example, a star would say it's the third of Kislev in the second year of this king, so and so, King Plony. So it's obviously important to know what the date is on a shtar, because when it comes to a shtar, we have a shibud nechasim. You have someone, let's say someone lends someone, there's a loan document, the mavla gives a lova a loan of $1,000, and the way it works is that all of the property of the lova is meshuba, there's a lien upon it to pay back the malva. And if he cannot do so, so then the malva has the right then to confiscate any of that property from somewhere. Now, the lova doesn't have the right from the date of the shtar, from the date of the loan, to sell any of his properties to anyone else, because there's a lien on that property. So if the mavir realizes that one of those fields, house, or whatever property has been sold to someone, any of that real estate has been sold, so the mavir, after the date of the sale, the lova had no right to do that. The mavir gets to confiscate that. Now, obviously, it matters then what the date of the loan is, and that is written on the shtar. So therefore, it's very important to know the date of the shtar, and that's what we need to know. Did we write it correctly? What year of the melech is it? So this is important for the following. Let's say you have a shtar that was written and the date was too early. What we call a shtar muktam. Let's say Reuven lent money to Shimon in the month of Shvat. And in the shtar, they wrote that the money was lent in Kislev. Now, that money wasn't lent in Kislev, and what that would do is that would put a lien on the property of the lova of the borrower from a month earlier than the loan was ever given. That's completely invalid. So that shtar is the shtar muktam, and the shtar is pasul, because the malva then will use that shtar to collect unjustly from nechasim that were never meshubad, because they was before the halva. So therefore the chachamim said that, so he won't collect from that month. So he'll collect from after that time. No, the Chachamim made a kanas, a penalty. You can't use this shtar at all. Even from properties that the lover was not allowed to sell. Properties that he sold after the time in the loan document. So let's say, for example, we have a king. And the king, the Jewish king, was coronated in the month of Adar. Okay, so that would mean that after 13 months, remember, after 1 month, he's in his second year. After 13 months, he's in his third year. So 13 months later, in Nisan, they wrote a shtar, and in the shtar they wrote, it's the second year of the king. Now that's wrong. That Nisan is already the third year. So that's a shtar muktam. That's a shtar that you're writing. You're telling me, it's really only the second year of the king. It's not true. It's the third year of the king. And now the malva may be collecting from too early. That's a shtar muktam. That shtar is pasul. So that's why it's important to know that it's Rosh Hashanah, the Malachim, on the first day of Nisan, to ensure that we don't run into these problems of a shtar muktam, the issues of a lien, nechasim mishudam, and there's a lien on the lowest property. And then we said regalim. What does it mean that first of Nisan is the first of the counting of the regalim? So you say, okay, so that means, well, Pesach is the first holiday. Okay, what does that mean? So the answer is the Torah says, b'chag ha-matzos, u'b'chag ha-shavuos, u'b'chag ha-sukos, and the Gemara says that's in Devarim tes zayin, and the Gemara says, nafkamina l'noder. You know what the nafkamina is? Why need to know that Pesach is the first holiday? Nisan is the beginning, is the first month of the holidays? Because of a person making a neder. What does the Torah say? Ki sidur neder la'ashem elokecha, lo sa'achir l'shalamo. You have that in Parshas Kiseitze. A person cannot, that's what we call bal ta'achir. You're not, if you make a neder, you donate a carbon, money, whatever it is, you have to make sure not to delay. Now, what does it mean to delay? I have to give it by tomorrow? So the Gemara says, no, you have plenty of time. The Chachamin Rabbi Shimon dispute as to when bal ta'achir is violated. According to the Chachamim, the way it is, a person is noder something to Hekdesh, let's say to the Beis HaMikdash, once three regalim have passed and he did not fulfill his neder, he violates Baal Ta'acher. That's the Chachamim's opinion. But Rabbi Shimon holds, No, it's not just three regalim. It's three regalim kisidrum, in order, in the proper order and arrangement, where Chag HaMatzos is first, which means you don't violate your neder with Baal Tacher unless you didn't pay up after three regalim have passed in the proper order, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So let's say, for example, person made a neder, he's going to give a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and he made this neder during the Omer, between Pesach and Shavuos. So what happens now? What holidays are going to come afterwards? There'll be Shavuos and Sukkot, and then Pesach, and then, so that's out of order. Ah, when does he violate Baal Tacher? After five regalim pass, Shavuos and Sukkot, and then the three regalim in order, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And it's coming to teach us that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the order of the regalim, and that you have in some cases maybe only three regalim, but in other cases maybe as much as five regalim to make sure the regalim are kisidron. Happens to be, although the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon, we do not follow Rabbi Shimon's position. Now these are what we're about to quote now are not in the Mishnah, but the Gemara says that Nisan, the first of Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah for other things as well. It's Rosh Hashanah, for example, for what we call Ibur Hashanah, which means that we need to add on, they used to base and used to sit down to do this. Today we have a calendar that does this, but the Beis Din would sit to decide whether or not we should be Ma'abed the Shana. Should there be an extra Adar or not, an extra month in the year? Why? Because Pesach has to, we make sure that Pesach has to be in Chodesh Ha'aviv, in the time of the spring. And if we see, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has this discussion, if we see that certain things aren't growing, and we see that Pesach is not going to be in the spring, so the likelihood is we may have to add an extra month. The Beis Din makes a decision to ask to add an extra month. Now, when do we make that decision to add an extra month? So the Chiddush of this Mishnah is that one of the Rosh Hashanahs of the first of Nisan is regarding Ibur Hashanah. And that is that once Nisan has come, once Adar is over, you can't now add an extra month. It's too late. What else is Nisan important for? Trumas Shkolim. We remember this. We learned Masecha Shkolim. When Nisan begins, we begin to bring the Karbanos Tzibur from the Truma, from that which was donated as Shkolim, the half Shkolim of this particular year. If you remember, we could begin the collections in Adar, and we use those funds now beginning in Nisan, on the first of Nisan. So the first of Nisan is important for Trumas Shkolim as well. And some even say, the Gemara says, Schirus Bat. When it comes to renting houses, what does it mean? If a person says, I'm renting this house to you, Lashana Zu, for this year, that year is over when Nisan is over. So a year may not be a year when it comes to Schirus. We have to be careful. If that would be true, what does a year mean? It may not mean, according to this opinion at least, it would not mean 12 months. It would be up until Nisan. Then the Mishnah continues, Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah Lemaser Behema. The first of Elul is considered the Rosh Hashanah for giving one-tenth, one of every 10 animals. The Pasuk says in Parshas B'chukosai, V'chol Masar Bakar V'atzon Kol Asher Yavor Tachas HaShavet, you have sheep, let's say, anyone that goes underneath the scepter, underneath the rod, you have them walk through the fence at one at a time, and then you paint Ha'asiri, you paint that with the red mark, Yeh Kodesh Lashem, every tenth one is Kodesh, it's brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you're not allowed to take Maser from animals that were born in one year on animals that were born in another year. Nor can we say you can't join them together and say, you know, I'm going to take Maser on both of these, this group, right now, if they're of different years. And that's derived from the Pasuk, Aser to Aser, we just read this past Shabbos, in Parshas Re'eh, Aser to Aser, Eis Kol Tevuas Zarecha, we'll read this Shabbos, Aser to Aser, Eis Kol Tevuas Zarecha, Hayotze HaSadeh Shana Shana. You have to give Maser, what's Shana Shana? It says Tvuas Arech, it's not talking about animals. Ah, but the Gemara says Aser Taser Bishnei Masos Akasuf Bedaber. Two Masos. Bein Maser Dagon, whether it's Maser one-tenth of grain, or Bein Maser Behema. And what does it say regarding Maser Behema, regarding this type of Maser? Shana, Shana. What's Shana? You can't Shana, Shana. You can't take Maser from one on the other. And that's what it means Echad be'elul is the Rosh Hashanah for Maser Behema. We don't combine, we cannot combine the Maser from before Elul to after Elul. Most animals are having to give birth, the Gemara assumes, in Av. So therefore the Maser begins in Elul, the first of Elul. But we have to be careful. You can't take Maser from something, let's say that was born, an animal was born, let's say in Cheshvan, so you can't join that with something that was born in Av. Those are two separate years. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, that Maser Behema Rosh Hashanah is not the first of Elul, but Bechad B'Tishrei. Why is that so? So they say, well, didn't the pasuk compare Maser Behema to Maser Dagon, every tenth animal to giving 10% of your grain? Well, Maser Dagon, the Rosh Hashanah of it is Tishrei, as we'll learn later in the Mishnah. So Maser Behema, the same, the Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. The Chachamim disagree with that logic. They say, yeah, we can compare Maser Behema to Maser Dagon, but we compare it in the following way. Just like when it comes to Dagon grain, when do you take Maser? Right when it's at Gemar Malacha, when it's complete. So the days of we know that in the summer, it stands in the granary, the wheat, and it dries. And in the beginning of Tishrei, Sukkot's time, we gather it in. So therefore, we take Maser at that time in Tishrei. But Maser Behema should be Samuch Legomro Isuro as well. You should be taking Maser, not the same time as Maser Dagon. You take, follow the same logic as Maser Dagon. If you're going to tell me I have the produce I need or the animals I need generally at a certain time, so then right after that time period is when we take Maser. Well, if most of the animals, as we said, give birth right before Elul and Av, so Echad be'Elul is the logical time to do Maser Behema and not the first of Tishrei. That's the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Then the Mishnah says, Be'Echad be'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah Lashanim. What does it mean, the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for the years? So the Gemara says that it's the years of the Malchei Umos Ha'olam. Most Mefarshim, the Mishnah, learn that way as well. That Echad B'Tishrei means, as opposed to the Malchei Yisrael, that was the first of Nisan, the Malchei Umos Ha'olam, their years begin on Rosh Hashanah, on the first of Tishrei. And some say, as we're familiar with, it's regarding din, that Hashem judges the people of the world, called Bo'ei Olam, wherever they are, up until Tishrei, up to Tishrei to Tishrei, based on the pasuk in Devarim Yud Aleph, Mereshis Parshas Ekev, Mereshis Hashanah Va'ad Acharishanah, which means Mereshis Hashanah Nidon Mayehe B'Sofa. It's the beginning of the year. Tishrei will decide what will be at the end. So the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lishanim, either the years of the Malchei Umos Ha'olam, or for Din. Others say it's Kufa, which I won't get into. That's referring to the sun and the moon and their orbits. But then the Mishnah says, what else is the first of Tishrei? Vilishmitim, the year of Shemitah begins in Tishrei. Once Tishrei enters on that seventh year in the cycle, you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to plant, Minat Torah. There are halachos when we learn Shavuos, may remember that 30 days before Tosefes Shavuos, certain activities we can't do even 30 days before, but Midoraisa, it begins on Tishrei, the first of Tishrei itself. Ule Yovlos, the year of Yovel begins on the first of Tishrei. Linatia means that the 3 years of Arlo, when you plant a fruit tree in Eretz Yisrael, it's Midoraisa, in Chutz La'aretz, it's Hayalach Lamoshe Misinai, but the rules of Arlo, that you can't use the fruit, either Asr Ba'achila and Asr Ba'hana, the first 3 years, that's for 3 years, but that begins on the first of Tishrei. Practically speaking, what does that mean? So the Gemara explains like this. A person who plants a tree on the 16th of Av, so it's right after Tu B'Av, so we just passed that date. Person plants a tree on the 16th of Av, which is 44 days before the first of Tishrei. So why is that date, the 16th of Av, so important? What are those 44 days? Well, 44 days gives you 2 weeks for the Netiya, for what we call Klitas HaNetiya, for the planting to take root. And then 30 days after what we call Klitas HaNetiya to be considered a year. 30 days has the status of a year in that regard. So that means when the first of Tishrei arrives, if it had been 44 days before, if it's less than that, then you lost that. You got to start from Tishrei a whole year. But had it been 44 days, it could be a little bit longer than that. But a minimum of 44 days before the first of Tishrei, you know what happens in Tishrei on the first of Tishrei? You're already in the second year of Arla. Already in the second year of Arla. Then the Mishnah says, and then after, let's say, 2 years from the first of Tishrei, so you're done. Aha, but when the first of Tishrei of the fourth year arrives, you'll say, oh, first of Tishrei, I guess I can get benefit from it. No, the peiros remain asur bahano because of Arla until the 15th of Shvat, which is Rosh Hashanah lo Ilano. So it's a little bit complicated there. Then the Mishnah says, you know what the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for? Besides Shanim, besides Shmitim, besides Yovelos, besides Netiyah regarding the laws of Arla, but the Yerakos, regarding giving Maser, 1/10, 10% from vegetables, that we don't take maser from yerukos, from vegetables, and that's decided, that's defined by when they were gathered in, when you pluck them out. So you don't take maser from yerukos that were gathered, that were harvested before Tishrei, on yerukos that were harvested after Tishrei. Those are two separate years. You don't do that. And then the Mishnah says, Be'echad b'shvat, Rosh Hashanah lo Ilon Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Rosh Hashanah lo Ilonos is the first of Shvat according to Beis Shammai. O Beis Ilom, Beis Ilomim, Bachamisha Sarbo. On the 15th of Shvat, what does it mean, Rosh Hashanah lo Ilonos? So when it comes to trees as opposed to vegetables, when do we consider the beginning of that season after what we call Chanata? That's where the tree blossoms and you see a little small fruit beginning to grow. So you can't take maser from peiros that begin to blossom before Shvat, the first day of Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, on fruit that begin to blossom after the first day of Shvat. And that would be true regarding maser sheni and maser ani. You may remember this from Seder Zeroyim, that maser sheni is given in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year. Let's say Aveda, Aleph, Beis, Dalet, Hey, the Aveda years. First, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, that's when you give Maser Sheni. On the third and the sixth year, that's when you give Maser Ani. So I'd like to know if I have fruit that began to blossom at the beginning of the third year of the Shemitah year before Shvat. So even though they were collected and harvested after Shvat, we treat them like a second year fruit, and therefore Maser Sheni applies. As opposed to the peiros that blossomed from Shvat and on in that third year, so they're Maser Ani. And Beis Hillel says not the first of Shvat, but the 15th of Shvat. Why the 15th of Shvat? So the Gemara says, well, because, and it's a quote from the Gemara, Hoil v'yatsu rov gishme hashana, since most of the rains of the year by this date have already subsided, already rained, v'ala hasraf b'ilanos, and the sap now is found in the trees, v'nimsu aperos chonte me'ata, and this is when the fruit begins to bud, begins to blossom. And some say Basil holds, well, you know what the 15th of Shvat is? It's smack in the middle of what we call Tikuvas Teves and Tikuvas Nisan, the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And since we're halfway through that time period, we assume that the major part of the winter now is already weakened, so to speak. It's not as cold, and the chanata, the blossoming, begins to strengthen.